Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life. Just open with prayer, and I want to dedicate this time to the Lord and just pray over ourselves this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are always with us and near us, and that you are the great teacher. You are the counselor. Lord, I thank you that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead really dwells in us, causes our mortal bodies to be quickened and alert. And I just pray this morning, Father, that our eyes would just see, our ears would hear what you want to say. And so we just dedicate this time to you. We dedicate our ears to you. And we ask you to touch our heads and our minds this morning and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is not going to be a very, big, long message, but I just believe it's a word from the Holy Spirit, something the Lord has been speaking to me, excuse me, and through other people all over the earth, and it has to do with what I believe he's releasing or has already released right now in this time that we're living in. Is a spirit of boldness to his body. And it is an invitation to enter in to our place as his children who are filled with the spirit of the living God in this hour. Because right now, there's been other spirits on the loose, if we haven't noticed. You know, spirits such as fear and intimidation. And what fear and intimidation do, fear just causes us to be paralyzed in a moment. When we hear the roar of the enemy who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, I mean, if I were walking in Africa and I heard the roar of a lion, I know that I would be struck with probably two very strong emotions. The first one would probably be, for me, incredible fear. And probably right behind that would be a sense of awe and, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But probably mostly fear, if I'm being honest. And what intimidation does, it causes us to back away. And so there's a roar like a roaring lion. And with that is a presence of intimidation that wants us to back away from the opposite spirit that we've actually been given. Which, what does God say? He says he's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And none of those things have the reaction in us that fear and intimidation would try to produce. It's the exact opposite. So what the Lord has released, I believe, already on the earth. I know for me, he gave me a picture, and I've told this to several of you, so here we go again. I kept seeing a picture of a lion in the summer. And then towards the end of July, I was not hearing with my physical ears, but with what I believe was my spiritual ears, a roar. And I was seeing a lion roaring and hearing a roar. And I believe that August, I don't have like scripture, like I can tell you, you know, scripturally this is what happened. But I can just tell you what I believe that I encountered for myself anyway, was that the Lord was releasing in the beginning of August a roar. And what he was doing with his roar is he was causing intimidation against his enemies. And the Bible describes Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so when he roars, it's a sound of praise. He's not praising himself. He's releasing it through his children, through us as believers. And I loved what David was saying during worship today of that it's a weapon. But it isn't for the sake of just being a warrior. It's because we genuinely are in awe of our God, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And his roar instills in us boldness and might and power. And it's all undergirded by love. And so I believe that today will be an invitation for us all to step into a new boldness to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's his might. It doesn't come from anything we can grunt up, right? It comes from him. It comes from his empowerment. So what does boldness mean from the Google definition? It's a willingness to take risks and to act innovatively, to have confidence or courage. And the enemy wants to steal from us our confidence and courage. He wants to steal our willingness to take risks in this hour and to act in an innovative manner. Fear will block creative thinking, creative solutions. It will block our ability to really be clear on what God is asking of us to do in this hour. And we need to be clear in this hour because there's a lot of voices. And the Lord is calling us to hear his roar, to be filled with his power and might. And so the Lord reminded me of a story we're all really probably very familiar with, and that's the boy named David. And I actually remember as a kid thinking, if I hear one more story about David and Saul, I'm leaving the Sunday school class. Because it seemed like that's what all my teachers would always teach on, like, every single week for years. I'm like, I could tell you the story. But anyway, the Lord brought me back to it, and, you know, the truth never changes. You know, my kids are like, Mom, you've told me that before. I'm like, you know why I keep telling you? Because it just doesn't change, you know? It's still true. That's why. And so don't be looking for the new thing. Go back to the ancient truths found in the Word, breathed by the Spirit of God. So if it's okay, I am going to just read chapter 17, and I have to put these glasses on to do that. That's kind of a new thing. Anyway, so you can just kind of sit back and relax and just listen to the story, or you can read along if you'd like. 1 Samuel 17. Now, David had already been anointed as the king, and it said that when he was anointed as king, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward in a powerful way. And, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about the story. it just feels so fresh and new. So now he was sent to the place to bring his brother some food and check up on his brother so he could report back to his dad. So that's the setting, and brothers are there, in the army, and you know, facing the Philistines in a time of war. So the Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between, I'm going to butcher these words, Soko in Judah and Azekah at Ephes Damim. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. I'm starting off with the New Living Translation because it describes things a little better, and then I'm going to switch to the ESV. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Wow. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor and carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves, but if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. And the ESV said they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, next page. ESV version. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. His three oldest sons had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn and Abinadab and Shammah. David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, Goliath came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them." So that was what David was doing. Now Saul and all they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. Fear and intimidation were at work. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel." That's what the men were saying, I think, to David or to each other. "And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills a Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I love that he should defy the armies of the living God." And the people answered him in the same way, "So it shall be done to the man who kills him." Now, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul, the leader of Israel, said to David, the boy, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant, the youth, used to keep sheep for his father. He's pulling out his resume. I kept sheep, mister. For my father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Oh, I love those words. There's so much clarity in them, unlike me being able to see you through these glasses right now. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So we got a little bit more to read. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Oh, Lord, just ignite us, Lord. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beast of the field. That is like a roaring lion right there. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, and not to mention your great girth and height. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hand. Can we just shout yes and amen? Woo! Sorry, people who are hearing my vocal through there. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. Oh my goodness. And took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. That is what I call poetic justice right there. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath. and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on their way from this place to that place and into another place. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines. They plundered their camp, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And later it says that he actually put the head of the Philistine, or did I just read that? Sorry. Anyway, he took the head of the Philistine and put it up as, you know, I have done what I said I would do. And so, I mean, I'm sure we could all preach the entire sermon right now after just listening to that story. There's so much in there for us to glean and for us to rejoice in. You know, Israel was given to us as a sign for our present day reality, so we could learn from their victories, we could learn from their mistakes. That's what Scripture teaches us. So when we look at this, we can insert ourselves into the storyline. This is meant for us to learn from and to be, in this case, emboldened by. And the things I want to point out about David, what a great character that we have in the story of David, the true account of David. So what the Lord has released to us in this hour that we live in is something, you know, that boldness can look like a lot of different things, right? Boldness can look like, no, I'm just not going to let this happen, you know? And it can look saucy, and it can look hot-headed, right? It can look crass, and it can look like gotcha, with an argument, right? But that is not what we see David doing in this. What we see him doing is, you know, what was he actually offended by here? What he wasn't offended by were his, he might have been slightly resistant to the accusation of his brothers who said, you're just here to see the battle. You know, I know it's in your heart. But David was like, what are you even talking about? You know, why are you messing with me on this? And so he went and pursued more information elsewhere. But he was not stopped by that accusation that was hurled against him. That was a dart. That was something that could have, if he'd let that sink in, it could have sunk into him, and maybe his stone would never have sunken into Goliath's forehead. And it could have disabled him and taken away his boldness and his courage, but it didn't. The next place that he went was to, when people heard David questioning and word got to the king of Israel, who was supposed to be the leader of the army, and Saul called for him, and David said, I will go and fight the Philistine. The one that is causing the fear and intimidation, I will go and fight him. And the king, the man who probably could have been the most intimidating figure to David, to speak, he should have spoke into David's life and encouraged him. He should have been the one actually saying these words, given his position. But he was trembling in fear as well. David could have taken his cue from Saul and said, well, if he's not doing anything about it, I probably shouldn't either. But that didn't stop David. He wasn't walking in intimidation. He was continuing to move forward and pursuing information and knowledge, and in the face of everything that Paul, you know, was deflecting, the reasons why David should not do this. You don't, you know, this man has been trained in war from his youth. He's a giant. Do you hear what he's saying? You know, and he's repeating everything to David. And not only that, but that's what David was hearing in the midst of Goliath throwing out these insults. He was hearing and seeing and feeling the response of the armies of Israel to the roars and the threats coming from Goliath, one person's mouth, and seeing how the soldiers were reacting. But none of that dissuaded him. And so in the face of being told why he couldn't do and shouldn't do what he was saying he was going to do, David said, but I am a sheep herder. you know? And I just think it's funny because it was, he wasn't ashamed of what he had been doing. He had some history under the anointing, the strong, powerful anointing. And he did not take credit for what he had done himself. He was simply saying, listen, I watch sheep. And when predators come around, I take the sheep out of its mouth. And if it rises up against me, I take it by the beard and I kill it. The lion and the bear, I have done this with. And the Lord has given those into my hand. He recognized David's attitude was so different. It wasn't the spirit of the rest of the world. It wasn't cowering under fear and intimidation. He was not paralyzed. He had a clear vision of what he knew, what his history was with the Lord, and what the Lord had empowered him to do previously. And that gave him courage for the next thing, that he was witnessing all of the men around him. Their hearts were failing in fear. I mean, they were like chanting and cheering war cries until Goliath came out. And then 40 days of this nonsense. And then David just comes up, you know, and these people around him were probably like, oh, the hubris of the young. He doesn't know. You know, he's being cocky. He's being hot-headed. He thinks he's going to show us up when we've been trained for war. That was not David's attitude. And if it had been, I don't believe he would have killed Goliath. I don't believe he would have been able to do it. Because it wouldn't have been in the strength of the Lord. It would have been by his own hot-headedness to do it. You know, you can pursue the same activity and it could look like boldness on the outside, but what's motivating us makes all the difference in the world. And I don't come at you with a sword or a spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. What David was offended by wasn't by all these obstacles people were throwing in his way and all the naysayers. He was offended that there dare be a voice that was defying Israel, the God's armies of Israel, the God. He was ultimately offended that God was being defied in this way. That's what was moving him. And he wasn't offended in a debilitating way, which is what all other offense will do. It was a righteous indignation against defiance, against the Lord who he has history with. No, the Lord has been with me. I've seen him do it here. I've seen him do it here. And he is going to deliver this giant into my hands. So, you know, it's just, I mean, all of these things that happened to him are so symbolic on every level, you know. Saul trying to, okay, well, this is the way we do it in war. We wear this. I mean, look at what Goliath's wearing. I mean, the tip of his spear weighs 15 pounds. Everything else, you know, even more. And this guy's 9, you know, just magnifying the reasons and the strength and the sound of the enemy. And that's what fear and intimidation will debilitate us and offense. David was like, okay, he's the king. Maybe I'll just try his garb on, and this is what they do. And he was like, this is not what I've done before. This is not what the Lord has trained me in. You know, that might be how you guys have trained, but if I'm gonna do this in the name of the Lord, I have to do it with where I've been with him and what I know and where my confidence has been built with the Lord. I know in whom I have believed. And that is where this surge of boldness and strength came from inside of David. And so it is with us. You know, if we try to go out, if we try to fight fire with fire in today's world, I'm not talking about literal fires. I'm talking about, you know, it could be literal, I guess, but I'm talking about the war of words and ideologies and debates and anxiety and, you know, just all these icky things that are going on in the atmosphere right now. If we try to arm ourselves to the nth degree so that we can just win the argument or win the fight or come out on top in our own minds only, because we know nobody really wins in these things. No, we have to fight in a different way, where we've been with the Lord, how he's, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And it isn't with the weapon, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We know our boldness in a different way, and that is through the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. When he roars, he gives us strength. And when we echo that roar of praise, strength rises in us. And so now the Lord is calling us to rise up in his boldness, in his might, in his power, so that we can defeat the enemy, not with a sword or a spear, but with where he's trained us. Right? He trains us in the secret place. He trains us as we live out our life every day in and day out. The little battles that seem insignificant are mighty. They're mighty because it's training ground for when that real roar that looks like everybody else around us is falling by the wayside. I can't say that. I can't do that because it's going to offend everybody. What is offend? No. We're worried about offending people. And we're not going out being hot-headed and cocky and offending people for the sake of offending people. That's not the spirit that God has called us to operate. That is not the spirit of boldness that comes from the Lord. Okay? It's rooted and grounded, love, power, and a sound mind. And so the battle belongs to the Lord. And the battle is won through our relationship and our focus on Jesus Christ and the power that he has given us, that has raised Christ from the dead. So in these days that we live in, I want to encourage all of us to be spending time magnifying what the Lord has done in your life already, where you have won with him. I love that song. I remind myself of all that he's done and the life I have because of his son. I remind myself when my heart is overwhelmed, I remind myself of where I've been with the Lord and how I've overcome. And then like David, what he did in that moment, he stood out and he saw the giant, and the giant was making fun of him. Now he's being insulted by the giant that has struck fear in the hearts. This was no ordinary fear. This was a spiritual fear. This is what's going on right now in our culture. We are not, this is not just a normal fear or intimidation. There is demonic hordes behind the evil that we see on the earth. And we cannot fight the battle by earthly means or by our own might or by power or by our own power, because it's so short. It doesn't last very long. What David did, though, when he was going up to Goliath, Goliath hurled insults and intimidation, roared in David's face, mocked his appearance, mocked his ability, and just said tons of derogatory things to him. It could have undercut David. What David did was prophesy. He prophesied what was going to happen next. He had prophesied it to Saul when Saul was saying, well, you can't do this because of this and this. He goes, well, today the Lord will deliver the giant into my hands. The Lord will do it. I mean, his confidence was so steadfast because his focus was on the magnification of who the Lord was and had been to him, where the Lord had already proven. And his offense was that how dare this mouth bark out defiance against the Lord of the armies of Israel? How dare he? This is what's going to happen to you today, Goliath. It wasn't hot-headed, quick comeback, mic drop moment for David. It was an unction of righteous indignation. They said, you are going to die by my hand. Today the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to cut your head off. David had a prophetic moment there, I think several, and he continued on, as we see in Psalms and the rest of his life. There were it was such a moment where he prophesied in the face of against all odds. And that is what God's calling us to do in this moment, to prophesy to our nation, to prophesy to our generation, to prophesy to any giant that is mouthing off against you, because you are the army of the Most High God. And the enemy has dared to defy you. And God does not take that lightly, and neither should we. So he, you know, Pastor Ed, during Awaken the Dawn, when we had the 24 hours of praise and worship here, he had a word come to him, and it was the line from a song that we sing, I see an army rising up. I see an army rising up. And he knew that the Holy Spirit was saying this to his spirit. But the Lord was raising up an army. He is raising up us up. Us up. So let's go out of this service today. And let's really practice this. Let's renew our minds to who we are in Christ. We are not mere mortals. We don't walk around reacting to everything that comes our way. No, we have a different reality, and that is our history with the God of the hosts. He is the God of angel armies, and he is on our side, and he empowers us. And we have a lot more weapons than we realize sometimes, I think. But it's the art of magnifying who we know God to be and staying so close that we're more impressed with God's ability than we are with the threats and the taunts of the enemy. All right, so I just, I speak boldness. Let me just make sure I followed my notes. If I'm not forgetting something. Oh. Yeah, well, this is really important too. So, you know, practical ways that we can walk in boldness, like I've said, is remembering that Jesus is victorious, not just on his own. I mean, he did that on his own, but he's victorious through us. And remember, you know, that David was anointed and the power of God was with him strongly from that day forward when he was anointed to be king over Israel, well before he became the king over Israel. But God's anointing began with him that day. And as David was anointed, so are you. Each one of us have been anointed by God and appointed by God for such a time as this that we live in. You are here not as an afterthought or an add-on, but you have been designated to be born in this generation for this time, because we have the Spirit of God to operate in the opposite spirit of the world. One of the things I want to say too is, you know, we are a charismatic, Bible-believing church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit that are for today. And many of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And what this does is it stirs up our most holy faith. When we speak with the tongue of men and of angels, we are stirring up our faith. The Holy Spirit came in power upon the disciples because it was to endow them with boldness for the hour that they were living in. And that same spirit is still at work in us today. And there is a power and a boldness that comes when we are speaking the mysteries of God and edifying ourselves in our most holy faith. And I just want to remind us to not forsake speaking in tongues on a daily basis and really developing a comfort level with just praying in the Holy Spirit. There is a stirring up that's happened. I've been reminded to do this more recently again in my walk. And man, there has just been movement in my spirit. It's just kind of flushed me out. And it's created a confidence and a boldness. I know that I'm speaking the mysteries of God, and I know I'm praying the will of God. Anyway, so I just want to put a reminder to pray in the Holy Spirit. Make it a daily practice. And I think I'm just going to quickly read Ephesians 6. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This is Bible authority. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And then he says, and I like this too, he said, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles. So Paul asked for prayer for himself for boldness too in the hour. And that is another thing, you know, pray in the Spirit and then ask ask your fellow brothers and sisters, you know, to pray for you for boldness when you feel like you might be lacking in that area. But this is a time when God is releasing it. So I really just believe that it's a matter of just saying, I'm ready to take a stand. God, in the areas that you lead me, to the battles you call me to fight, Lord, I take my stand. And I will not war with carnality and flesh that will undermine me and debilitate me and really undermine you and your authority on the earth. But I will be strong in you and in the power of your might. So it's a matter of just receiving it today and accepting what God's asking you to do and that you're not alone. You go forward in the name of the Lord of the hosts, of angel armies. And he's on our side. So I think I'm about done. And we need to remember that the enemy is a trespasser, right? And that he's out of bounds. Demons only live on borrowed authority. And so when they taunt us and scream and try to cause our faith to fail, they have nothing against the Lord of hosts and his armies. He has nothing. It's smoke and mirrors. They only live on borrowed authority. Only what we give them power. You know, like the children of Israel were giving their power away to speech, to taunts. And we will not do that in Jesus' name. But we will rise up in the strength of the Lord. So, Father, right now, I just bless my brothers and my sisters who have come here, who are hearing this, who are on the other end of the camera, listening to this, taking this in. Lord, I just speak your blessing and your anointing over all of us today, that we would walk in the fullness of your power and your might, that we would not back down, but when the battle's over, we would be found standing because, Lord, we've put your armor on. We receive your boldness, and we say yes to the battles that you call us to, knowing that the battle belongs to you, and you've given us the victory. In Jesus' name, we bless you, and we rise up today. Amen.